welcome to Nutmeg Junction. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. We present three Edgar Allan Poe-inspired selections on this trolley ride of imagination. Up first is a performance of Poe's The Raven, performed by Jerry Crystal. The second selection is a humorous take on the inspiration of The Raven in Baltimore, featuring Rich Sear, Jerry Crystal, Jason Kulas, and Kurt Boucher in No Offense. Finally, we offer another humorous take on the inspiration of The Raven from our Serendip History series, featuring Rich Sear, Josh Newey, and Jandy Hanna. Please enjoy.
The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more. Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow. Sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently, my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is, I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door." Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore?" This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore?" Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but, with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door. Bird or beast upon the sculpted bust above his chamber door with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther then he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master, whose unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, never more." But the raven still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of the bird and bust and door. Then, upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl, whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lighting with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer swung by seraphim, whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. "Wretch," I cried, "thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent, or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden if, within the distant Aden, it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore." Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word a sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting. Get thee back into the tempest night and the night's plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul had spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out of my heart and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er him screaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
And now we present No Offense.
Last call, Mr. Poe. Mr. Poe, last call.
5 minutes, my good man. I think we're onto something. Go ahead, Stuart. Try reading it again.
Ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, my name is Albert.
It's genius! Pure genius! I'm talking about my words, not necessarily the delivery. One more round, Albert.
I don't know, Edgar. I think the last line may not entirely fulfill the promise that the rest of the poem provides, and I mean that with the utmost respect and with no offense intended or implied, of course.
Of course, George, of course. But I think it's genius. Don't you like it, Albert?
Huh? It's all right, I guess. I'm the barkeep, not much of a poetry person, but I can appreciate the work people put into it. So, can I close out your tab?
Never! More beverages, if you please.
Albert, after this round, please close out the tab. Edgar, I don't think your poem is ready. Not ready for my magazine, at any rate. And I don't mean to offend in any way. This is just my feelings on the subject.
How is my reading? I feel I'm trying to bring my best work, but if I'm a little distracted...
You read the words, Stuart. You read the words.
You see, my fiancée has been acting a little peculiar to me lately, and I...
Stuart, this is about me right now. Much as I appreciate the fact that you come here with your own needs and personal situation, so you know what? No offense is meant, surely.
Of course.
Edgar, you've named the raven after the bartender, but unless your readers happen to be at the same bar, I don't think they're going to fully understand the reference.
But I've accrued such a large debt here, George. How else can I pay him to give him the honor of a prominent place in my creative work? I can name the raven Albert.
I'd rather just get paid, if I'm being perfectly honest. Not to be rude, but I do appreciate the honor.
Supposing you didn't have the debt, and you didn't have to name the raven Albert, how would the poem sound?
Ah, in that case, Stuart, take these pages here, okay? Pick it up right there.
For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door. With such name as Virginia.
Isn't that your young cousin named Virginia?
My wife, yes.
Ew! The less I know about your personal life, the better, Edgar. No offense.
Of course!
It's like I was telling my intended the other day.
Stuart, no offense, but this is not about you. Now, George, the magazine needs a jolt of excitement that only a work by Poe can provide.
Graham's magazine hasn't been the same since you left, that's true.
It's Griswold's work that makes it less than suitable, George. You hired him. And no offense.
It's true. Your replacement hasn't achieved the same level of interest that your work provided. And no offense to him, of course.
I wouldn't mind offense in his case. He hates me.
A lot of people hate you, Edgar. And no offense, of course.
Of course! But that could just be his reflection of the uncreative garbage circle that you sit in, George. No offense.
No offense, but I do have to get up early for work. So if we're done here...
No offense, Stuart, but if you're an actor, so getting up early for you means sometime after noon.
Hey, now!
No offense, Edgar, but I happen to resent the uncreative garbage comment. We were very good to you at the magazine. You were a fine editor, an adequate critic. Your own literary work wasn't suitable for decent readers. No offense, of course.
Of course you like Murders in the Rue Morgue well enough to publish it. At least it gave the rag, a magazine, a little artistic flair. No offense.
No offense, Edgar, but I've been very patient reading all your rewrites, and Lenore expects me to meet her for lunch.
No offense, but you know what? I've met Lenore, and giving you any time away from her is a favor. No offense.
No offense, Edgar, but my rag paid your copious bills and kept you out of debt. And now that you're out of my employ, you socialize with actors and whores, which is often the same thing. No offense to it, of course.
No offense, George, but in the future, I wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes with an ignorant editor who hires Rufus Griswold to replace me, even if I had to spend an entire evening with an insipid actor crying about his fiancée, Lenore. No offense, Stuart.
Well, I've had about enough of your stupid, whiny, derivative dribblings you call poems. Your vapid, trite, and nearly incoherent babblings are poor excuses for verses. Dickens already wrote about a talking raven, you morally, ethically, creatively, and literally bankrupt washout. I'm just sorry I ever clapped my eyes on your useless, pathetic scribble diarrhea, let alone read them aloud, fouling the air with the stench of mendacity and meaningless spittle. The tissue for the toilet holds more literary merit than the poetry of Edgar Allan Poe. And I'll never work with you again. Never more. Never more. Never more! No offense, of course.
Of course not.
So, about this tab, who's paying?
So... Are we going Dutch?
You invited us here!
Stuart, how would you like a poem dedicated to your lovely Lenore?
In exchange for paying the tab?
Exactly.
Only if you never call me again to perform your poems, Edgar. No offense.
Nevermore.
Now we present Nevermore.
Ah, Edgar Allan Poe, I presume. How wonderful it is for you to meet me. Would you care for a drink?
Thank you, sir. I'll take a cognac if you have it.
At this hour?
It's only 9.
in the morning, Edgar.
So you'd recommend only a beer, then?
How about some tea?
Did you receive my correspondence, sir?
The magazine and your story, William Wilson? Yes, I responded to you with a letter in reply. Did you not receive it? I hope my response was not stolen. I dislike to think we may be victims of a purloined letter.
What do you think of the tales of the macabre, Mr. Irving?
The thing is, Edgar, it's been done already. Have you not read the sketchbook of Jeffrey Crayon?
Ah, the story of the legend of Sleepy Hollow in your sketchbook, yes. I did read that story, and skimmed some of the rest, yes.
So that genre has already reached its pinnacle. The pendulum could only swing towards...
The pit?
The sketchbook of Jeffrey Crayon brings life to that genre. By comparison, your work may only find its way into the morgue of the literary world. And you would rue the day you made such an effort. Why monkey around a rue morgue? Am I right, Edgar? One moment. Helen? She's slightly deaf in one ear. Len! Come in, Len.
Ooh, company.
Len, would you be so kind as to bring us some tea?
Right away.
Thank you, Len.
So, you're recommending I don't write of Tales of the Macabre, but my heart is telling me to forge on in that direction.
Oh, the heart may tell tall tales to us, but never listen to a telltale heart. Come in, Helen.
Here you are, then.
Helen, I do apologize. The problem is, in order for us to thoroughly enjoy this tea, we will, unfortunately, require cups.
And water.
Thank you, Edgar.
Cups and water with the tea. Right. Right away, then.
Thank you, Len.
Yes, thank you.
Now, you write for Burton's Gentleman's Magazine.
Did you like the Gentleman's Magazine?
Oh, I read it for the articles, and many were highly entertaining. But whether you're a businessman or just a man in the crowd, the time to read experimental literary work is limited during the week to maybe a Sunday. You can't expect a reader to hang on macabre stories alone any more than you can expect to have 3 Sundays in a week. You see what I mean? Oh, there's that rapping at the door again. Come in, Len.
Here we are, then. Will that be all? I'll try to be available whenever you call. Sometimes it's hard
to hear, yes, Helen. Thank you, Len.
Yes, thank you. The tea is cold, sir. As cold as ice.
I do apologize. I'm so embarrassed to serve iced tea socially.
If I could plead my case, sir, I feel the odd story is one that captures an imagination and...
Edgar, you may wish to be the angel of the odd story, but you don't want to be diddling about with that kind of prose forever. Have you considered poetry?
That's the majority of my work so far, sir.
Oh, what is it, Helen?
Brought you some nice Amontillado that you brought back from your European trip.
Yes, now you're talking, Helen.
The tea was fine. Well, it wasn't fine, but very well. Thank you for the Amontillado.
There's a whole cask of it in the basement.
Really? What might a man do for a cask of Amontillado?
There's no inspiration there, Edgar. That would be all, then. Thank you.
I don't wish to hopfrog from genre to genre. I wish to find my niche within the American lore.
But unless you wish your work to be forgotten, think of poetry as your guide. Of course, it's entirely up to you if you wish to create some quaint and curious forgotten lore. There's that door again. Yes, Len?
Did you need anything else? I just wanted to be sure you were satisfied.
We're all set, Helen. Thank you.
I'll be available if you need anything more.
Nothing more. Thank you.
If you want a biscuit?
Nothing more.
Just the tea, then?
Never tea again. Never more.
And the amontillado?
Merely this, and nothing more. Now, you can stop rapping at the door, all right, Helen?
Okay, then.
So, getting back to it. The tales of the grotesque are not where you should place your emphasis. I don't care if you write about the philosophy of furniture. Just write something where you can make your mark. Oh, is that something at the window lattice? Something's rapping.
Or gently tapping?
Rapping at the window? Pull that purple curtain away and find out what it is, I implore.
We have a mystery to explore.
I doubt there's a mystery. It could be the wind and nothing more, but it's probably Lenigan.
Just trying to watch and see if you require anything more.
No more, Len. Never more.
Never more?
She can't hear you.
Never more?
Never more!
Okay. Why didn't you say so?
Oh, poor woman. She may be raving.
Raven?
I apologize. Raving. Raving mad, I'm afraid.
Poor Len or Helen? Len or Helen? Lenore.
Edgar, I hope my advice has been helpful. And I apologize, but there are so many other young authors who seek my guidance. And what with the state of my household help, I may not be available for further counsel in person. Written correspondence will have to suffice.
Ah, no more young authors darkening your door, eh, sir?
Nevermore. But don't quote me on it.